16. Nightside.
The debris pile was made up of burned-out droid parts, condenser coils, and twisted rebar, all of it forcibly compressed into a perfect cube. Artigan had scavenged together a dozen such blocks down here a year ago, while wandering through an unfinished wing off Maintenance Sublevel 3, the one that the inmates called Nightside. Originally designated as Coghive 7's garbage dump, Nightside was now a desolate industrial cave, its shadows bulking with unused scrap balers, shearing machines, and metal shredders. The stink of carbon composite and various ferro alloys hung permanently in the air. Prisoners came down here from time to time, scrounging through leftover debris, ever since the rumor began circulating that somebody once found a Baragwin shield disruptor in a pile of heavy smelting scrap. The story was probably apocryphal, but it drew them anyway. None of which explained why Artigan Truax had brought his son here today. "Very good." Artigan glanced at the block of debris and then turned back to Egan. "This one now." "That?" The boy gave it a sidelong glance. "It's too much! My arms are already burned out from those deadlifts!" "Excuses won't save you." Artigan gazed at his son sternly. "Do you wish to survive this place or not?" Egan nodded and shut his eyes. He was stripped to the waist, his bare torso pale and nearly hairless. He'd spent the last few hours chasing prison rats across elevated girders, attacking them with both hands tied behind his back. They were large, disgusting things, but they moved fast, and pursuing them required absolute focus and determination. Afterward, he'd practiced punching, kicking, swinging, ducking, lifting, pulling. Artigan coaching his son through the various holds, locks, and attacks that might one day make all the difference in a bout. There were no rules here in Coghive 7, no such things as mercy, no quarter asked or given. After the morning workout, sweat gleamed from Egan's upper lip and forehead, plastering the reddish-brown hair against his brow in strands and clumps.
"Now?"
"Whenever you're ready." Reclining backward, Egan tilted his head back and reached for the makeshift crossbar that his father had jimmied up beneath the pallet. Artigan waited while his son tested the bar to make sure the load was balanced, and he watched his son's features tense up in anticipation of the lift.
"Get under it," Artigan said.
"How many?"
"Start with one."
The boy shut his eyes and pushed. Muscles leapt out across his shoulders, chest, and abdomen, biceps straining, arms extending until he held the debris pile at arm's length off the floor. He started to lower it, but Artigan spoke.
"Hold it on my count."
Egan didn't argue. The load trembled. The boy's jaw clenched, fighting gravity and fatigue every passing second. Throughout it all, Artigan stood over him without expression, watching the weakness drained from his son's body, feeling the familiar mingling of deep pride and dismay that came with the realization of how hard the boy was working, and ultimately, how little it mattered. Egan grunted.
"Father!"
5 more seconds," Artigan said. "You can do it."
The boy tucked his chin. By now his face had gone a dark, plummy shade of scarlet, all the way up to his hairline. Veins stood out in his temples. A slight, involuntary whimper escaped his throat, and Artigan heard the load beginning to rattle as the boy's arms trembled harder than ever, threatening collapse.
"I can't!"
2 more seconds, Artigan told him. 1?
He nodded.
"That's enough."
The load dropped with a crash, and Egan let out a gasp of relief. Sitting up slowly, rubbing his shoulders and trembling with the lactic acid buildup in his muscles, Artigan tossed him the towel and waited while the boy mopped his face and glanced back at the cube before finally lifting his gaze to look up at Artigan. His face was pale now, drained but clearly pleased.
How much?
Yigen asked. 120.
I've never lifted that much before.
You asked for a true test, Artigan said. I gave you one.
Reaching down to ruffle his son's sweaty hair, he felt a tenderness that he rarely allowed himself to acknowledge. The deep love whose only counterweight was the deep knowledge that all too soon it would be taken away. He withdrew his hand. Now, he said, the 52 fists. Egan's eyes widened.
Father!
Now.
Reluctantly, the boy assumed the position of readiness, neck straight, body rigid, arms upraised, a veil of doomed hopelessness already descending over his face. Comprising a blizzard of lightning-fast attacks over a period of less than 5 seconds, the attack known as 52 Fists required total commitment to absolute destruction of the opponent. Done properly, it could kill a man 3 times Egan's size and weight, but the slightest tremor of intent left its unlucky practitioner wide open to all manner of retribution.
Now,
Artigan said. The boy launched himself at his father, arms scissoring in a blur of punches. At first, the results appeared promising. But all too quickly, Artigan saw a hole, lunged forward, and threw his son to the floor. Egan lay supine, gasping for air, eyes shining, cheeks and forehead blazing. Only now did the anger come, belated, impotent.
Are you going to cry then?
Artigan didn't bother hiding the disappointment on his face.
You know the rule.
Yes, father.
The boy jerked his head up and down fiercely, fighting back tears. From the beginning, the rule had been simple. For every tear, a drop of blood.
Then get up,
Artigan said, extending his hand.
And we'll try again.
Yes, father.
And all for what?
A new voice jeered from the far end of the shop, ringing off the flat metal surfaces that surrounded them.
One match? 2 if he's lucky?
Father and son turned to look at the guard stepping out from behind a massive briquette press hunkered in the far corner. Making his way toward them, C.O. Voistock approached the debris block and gave it an appreciative kick before turning his full attention to Artigan and Egan.
You're wasting your time, kid,
the guard said wryly.
You know that, right?
I'm training.
For what? A one-way trip down the cremation shaft?
That's...
Egan's face contorted, becoming bitter.
What would you know about strength and discipline?
Strength and discipline, huh?
Still grinning, Voistock tucked his thumbs into his belt and rocked back on his heels.
I like that. Remind me to have it engraved on your dad's corpse as an inspiration to others.
My father could tear a man like you to pieces without breaking a sweat.
A little bit of the guard's smile faded.
Forget it, Junior. I don't fight the elderly.
He held the Blasco title for 3 straight seasons. Did you know that?
Egan took a step toward him.
Without that switch on your hip, you wouldn't last 5 seconds against him.
Don't push it, boy. Remember who you're talking to.
I'm almost ready. Tell him, father.
Right.
Voistock laughed, but there was no humor in it. Only the brittle exasperation of a man whose patience was being sorely tried.
Kid, you wouldn't last 5 seconds in a fight. Even your old man knows it.
Reaching up, he ran one hand over his stubble jawline.
Why do you think he's paying me to help you 2 bottom feeders bust out of here?
What are you talking about?
You don't believe me. Ask your dad. What do you think I'm doing down here? Breathing in all this metal dust for my health?
The boy fell silent. His eyes shifted from Voistok to his father, and then he said in a very quiet voice,
"Is it true?"
"Egan, is it true?"
"Son," Artigan said, "we'll both die here if we..."
"You said I was strong enough! You said that I was ready to fight!"
Artigan closed his eyes. This was going to be harder than he'd expected, he realized, and infinitely more painful. He drew his hands out of his pockets so that Egan could see how badly they trembled.
"Son, it's over for us here."
"Don't say that. It's not true."
"You're already stronger and faster than I am," Artigan continued. "But you're not a killer."
He steadied his hand and placed it on the boy's bare shoulder, felt the tension that had gathered there, twisted into knots of post-adolescent indignation.
"There's deep steel in you, yes, but there's also great mercy, kindness."
He drew in a deep, resigned breath.
"This is no place for a boy like you."
"Boy."
That single word seemed to lie more crushingly upon Egan than any of the weights he'd had to lift.
"Then why did you bring me here?"
he asked. Artigan looked away. It was the one question he couldn't answer.
"It was a mistake.
A mistake?
I miscalculated.
Relied on salvation from a man who could not provide it."
He moved past his son, shifting toward Voistok.
"Can you get us into medbay?"
Voistok gazed at him for a long moment.
"When?"
"Right now."
"What's the rush?"
"I would prefer not to linger here any longer than we absolutely have to."
Artigan realized that he was clenching his fists and forced himself to open them. His fingernails had cut tiny red half moons into the lines of his palms.
"Yes or no?"
The guard sighed and nodded.
"Yeah,"
he said, and checked the chrono strapped to his wrist.
"I can disrupt the primary and auxiliary feed to the medbay. When the power doesn't come back on the grid, maintenance will have to run a black start. It will take 15 minutes to bootstrap the main server arrays back online. But if you disrupt all the power..."
"Then how..." Voistok held up one hand to stop him.
"At that point, our standard protocol is to reroute all power through the GH7, so they can patch surveillance through the droid's photoreceptors. That's when you'll make your move."
"All right."
"You realize they'll see your faces. You'll have to do something about that."
"It's not a problem," Artigan said.
"You've got 15 minutes. If the droid hasn't deactivated the electrostatic charges in your hearts by then, there's nothing else I can do."
"I understand.
I mean it."
Voistok locked eyes with him.
"You're on your own. We're not friends. Which means you and your boy are a couple of hard targets just like any other runaway. I don't know how you're going to get out of medbay, and I don't care. Anybody asks me if I've seen you, I tell them everything."
"Then let's go."
"Father, no!"
Egan wheeled around, and now all his renewed anger and disbelief were focused where Artigan had been expecting it all along. Directly on him.
"He's setting us up! Can't you see that? He's just going to steal every credit you have, drain the accounts, and send us right back into the cells again! He'll betray us the first chance he gets!"
"Egan, he's our one hope of getting out. And we have to go now.
I can learn the 52 fists. I just need more time."
Artigan took hold of his son, clasping him in a sweaty embrace. The boy squirmed, pushing back, fighting to resist. He was stronger than Artigan now. and under any other circumstances he would have broken the hold, but his arms were tired, the muscles spent from lifting. At last he collapsed into Artigan's arms, glaring up at his father in impotent fury.
"That's why you worked me so hard," he said tonelessly. "So I couldn't stop you."
"Stop us," Artigan corrected, and flicked his gaze at Voistock, narrowing his eyes.
"Are you ready?"
Voistock nodded.
"Just waiting on you. Let's go."